This travel show is brought to you by Ted Blank, Luxury Travel and Adventures.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Show with your host, Ted Blank, of Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventure. We're always so happy when he stops in to fill us in on our bucket list ideas or just some great places to go if it's not on your bucket list, just to get out and travel. Great to see you.
Good to see you.
So are we traveling now?
We are.
Yeah. How are you feeling
Absolutely.
About it?
Absolutely. I'm feeling really good. I have a trip to Europe planned in a couple weeks. I have a group that's going with me on a cruise down the Rhine River.
Oh, lovely.
So we're going at the end of May, so that'll be really exciting. And then I have a group going with me to Alaska in July. So very much looking forward to that as well.
So the airlines just recently lifted the no masking ban.
Correct.
And have a lot of people rejoiced in that?
Yes, it definitely caused a spike in people interested in traveling.
There you go.
Good to see. Yeah.
So even if it was a psychological thing, like travel must be safer, they got rid of the mask.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of things are psychological now. So yeah, it gave people a boost and I think a little additional level of confidence.
Well, I love it. So on your list of places that you think are bucket list things, what are some of the biggies? I know we've talked about Italy.
We've talked about river cruising. And for some reason, April always gets me in the mind of Greece.
Why is that?
And I think it's because I've been to Greece a couple times.
In April?
In April, yeah, which is a little early in the season for most people. But for some reason, Greece always is a spring destination for me. So it seems like a good topic for today.
Is it because it gets so hot in Greece and that's why people like to go there before it gets too hot?
Yeah, Greece has a really incredible climate. I mean, year round, you or I might think the climate in Greece in December is perfect. The Greeks don't, they all bundle up in their coats. But yeah, Greece is a very seasonal destination, so a lot of folks will travel there in the summer. And in the middle of the summer, July and August, Greece can be a little bit crowded and it can be really hot.
So when you say a lot of people travel in the summer, is it one of those places that Europeans go on holiday to?
Absolutely, yes. Greece is one of the most popular places for Europeans to go on vacation, and they typically travel in June, July, and very particularly in August. So Greece is packed to the gills in August with Americans and Europeans.
And what is the draw?
The climate. The climate, the beaches, the culture, you know, the cuisine. But I think for the Europeans, it's one of those really close destinations with really nice weather, you know, like Florida or Arizona would be for us. So they're going there for the climate and the beaches. We're going there for that, plus the culture, the history, the heritage, and the food.
So when you think of Greece, before you had been there as a visitor yourself, what were some of your preconceived notions about it?
Well, the interesting thing about Greece, and I'll answer your question a little bit differently, is it was the first place I ever went that I thought it actually looked like the tourist brochures. And so I had seen those pictures.
Positive.
I know it's a very positive. You know, I had seen those pictures of the whitewashed cottages and the little whitewashed churches on the islands with just that incredible blue sea. And believe it or not, that's exactly what it looks like. And when you get out into the Greek islands, it really does look like a tourist brochure.
So Greece, is it a set of islands like Hawaii is? Or can you explain what Greece encompasses?
Yep. So Greece is both the Greek mainland, which is where the city of Athens is. And then there are about 1,000 islands. Actually, it's kind of like Minnesota's 10,000 lakes.
I did not know there were that
many. Yeah, about 1,000 islands. Most of them are so tiny that two people would sink them into the bottom of the sea.
Okay.
But about 150 of them are actually occupied.
Really?
Yep. And some of them are still quite tiny. You know, they might only have 5 or 6 homes on them. But there are about 12 kind of core, larger islands in the Adriatic Sea that make up the Greek the Greek Isles, where people like to travel, like to visit.
So Greece is in the Adriatic Sea, and then what are some of the countries around it?
Yep, so Greece actually spans both the Adriatic and the Aegean.
Okay.
So actually a lot of the Greek islands are in the Aegean Sea as well. It's bordered to the north by Bulgaria and Albania. Turkey has a maritime border with Greece, but that's pretty much it. It's actually at the end of the European Peninsula. And if you go across the Adriatic Sea, you'll end up in Italy.
Oh.
So it's quite a ways south, and it's quite a ways east in Europe.
So it sounds like getting there by boat might be a positive thing.
Yeah, the Greek islands definitely lend themselves to cruising. They are a destination where I think a cruise makes the most sense in terms of being able to see the most and really get the most out of your trip there.
So do you fly into mainland Europe and then take a cruise over to the islands, or do you fly into Athens? What do you do?
You can do it both ways.
Okay.
Greece is part of itineraries that might start or end in Italy and take some of the Greek islands. And, you know, depending on how long the cruise is, you might visit two or three, you might visit four or five. And then there are cruises that pretty much operate only within the Greek islands. You know, there'll be a round trip from Athens, or maybe they'll start or end in Athens or Istanbul. But the focus is on the Greek islands.
So is it just as beautiful as we think?
It is. It is. It's beautiful. The climate is incredible. And I think you know, most of us haven't seen anything as old as Greece in our lives. And so the first time you see some of those ruins from, you know, 2000 BC, that's a pretty eye-opening experience, I think, for most of us.
So the Greek Isles, was that the place that the movie Mamma Mia was filmed in?
It was.
Okay.
Yes, and if you ask me which island, I won't remember, but
no,
it was definitely set in the Greek islands.
I mean, wasn't that just gorgeous setting?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep, it does look like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So fun.
So I don't know if Pierce Brosnan is there all the time.
He's there all the time. He's practicing his singing, I think.
I think that might have been lip synced, I hate to say.
So the Greek Isles are a destination for many of your travelers. What would you say would be a time frame that you could do it justice if that were just your focus?
Yeah, if you were just to kind of focus on Greece and the Greek Isles, I would say 10 days is a good chunk of time. That'll get you most of the highlights. If you have a little more time, definitely 2 weeks is what I would recommend to people.
And how does it work? We would leave the United States and then where do you fly into?
Yeah, you'll fly into one of the big European hub airports like Amsterdam or Paris or Frankfurt and make a connection to go to Athens. And then most people will spend a couple days in Athens. And there is, you know, so much to see in Athens itself. So much history. You know, there's the Acropolis, which is the hill where the Parthenon, the temple, is. There's an incredible new, well, it's actually not so new. Maybe it's about 10 years old now. But there's an incredible archaeological museum that's pretty new that highlights all of the artifacts and the history of the Acropolis. And so it's really cool. It's really, really well done. And one of the neatest things is after you've made your way through the museum, you get to the top floor. And the window is the entire length of the building. And you have this panoramic view of the Acropolis that you really can't get from any place
else.
So yeah, it's really incredible. But that's the main highlight in Athens. A lot of people will take day trips from Athens. There is a place called Meteora, which is famous for its monasteries. And speaking of Pierce Brosnan and James Bond, if you saw the movie For Your Eyes Only, it was set in one of the monasteries of Meteora on top of this little tiny cliff that the only way to get to is on like a little chain rope. So you can go to Meteora. And then there's a city called Delphi, where the famous Oracle of Delphi from Greek mythology lived. And it's high up in the Olympic Mountains. So in the winter, it's actually near a ski resort. But you can go there and see the ruins of this, you know, probably the most important temple of ancient Greek times.
You would recommend then that we stay in Athens or do these day trips? Or?
Yeah, Athens is a good place to stay. Greece is an extremely mountainous country. There's basically no flat land in the entire country.
Mm.
So most of Greece is pretty uninhabited and pretty desolate, but a lot of it can be seen with Athens as a base. And then hop on a cruise to go to the Greek Isles.
So how did it become so populated then if it was all basically mountains? I mean,
Greece has always been a really isolated part of Europe.
Okay.
Pretty insular part of Europe.
Okay.
It has kind of bounced over its history back and forth between Greek and the Greek democratic days when it was kind of self-ruled.
Okay.
You know, and then there were all the wars between the Greek cities, Sparta and Athens, the Ottoman Turks, the Persians, the Romans, Greece's, the Italians, even Greece has kind of bounced around and it's been kind of a province of a variety of historical empires, but it's really only been an independent country for the last 150 years.
I didn't
or
know
so.
That. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And actually, many of the Greek islands were occupied by the Italians up until the end of World War II.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
You know, they kind of stay out of the news, don't they, as far as they're not involved in any wars?
No, Greece is a very, very, very peaceful country. It's probably not a real well governed country if you were a Greek citizen.
What does that mean?
You know, the government, Greece is not a wealthy country. And
it seems like it would be.
Yeah, it's not. It's a fairly low income country as far as European incomes go. And the Greek government doesn't tend to spend its money very wisely,
okay,
I think. And so the governments tend to change fairly often. There actually were military coups in the 1960s and 1970s. So its existence as a democracy, which of course goes back into history, is a relatively new phenomenon.
So do you think it's a pretty cost-effective place to travel to or to live?
Yeah, I think to live, certainly. I think for travelers in Greece, they'll be pleasantly surprised. You know, if you've been to a northern European country, like, you know, in Scandinavia, Germany, France, Greece is a lot more affordably priced.
And do you think that there are a lot of Americans there? Did you get out and about? And
oh, yeah. You run into people, a lot of American travelers. And this year in 2022, it's probably been my second most requested European country after Italy. I think a lot of people, you know, they see the beauty of like Santorini, which is that volcanic island that's kind of shaped like a crescent moon, and it has all those fabulous hotels with the infinity pools overlooking this big cauldron. So a lot of people are very interested in going there for like a honeymoon or a delayed honeymoon, or just to get out and experience the Greek islands on a cruise.
And what are the times of year? You've been there in April. Is that the time to go?
April's a little early. The weather is pleasant, but it can be quite windy in April. But when May starts to roll around, that's when the real peak tourist season starts to ramp up. So I would say May and September, October are probably the best times to go. I think of it as a spring destination, at least in my own head. But one of the really nice things about going there in September and October is that the water in the Mediterranean had all that time to warm up. And so even though the air temperatures are getting a little bit cooler, the ocean is actually quite pleasant. So if you want to swim, it's a nice time to hop in the sea.
So it is known for its beaches.
Yes, absolutely, its beaches.
Even though it's rocky?
A lot of them are rocky, not all of them. There are sand beaches as well. And beaches are definitely one of the attractions. And then sort of the historical ruins dating back to the Greek prehistory and the Roman kind of pre-biblical times are also really interesting. And there's a lot of Christian history in Greece as well. And there's a little island called Patmos. And at the top of this big, tall mountain, there is this tiny little mountain church where the book of Revelation was apparently written. And if you see this church on a stormy day, you'll understand perhaps why that's not the most sunny of books in the Bible. There's a place on the island of Rhodes called Lindos, and that is where Paul made his first footfall on the European continent when he was being taken from the Holy Land to Rome for his trial.
So a lot of history.
Yeah, a lot of history there.
Wow. Yep. What was your favorite part about Greece?
I really like the island of Santorini. It is just breathtaking in its beauty. There's almost, you can't turn and not have a scenic view. It has a really nice black sand beach.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a volcanic island, of course. So that's really neat. The other island that I really like is Crete, which is the largest island in Greece. And that's where the ruins of the palace of Knossos are. And if you remember your Greek mythology, that's where that monster called the Minotaur was. It was like a half man, half bull in a big maze. And these two guys named Daedalus and Icarus they killed the Minotaur. And then when they escaped, they flew with wings, but they got too close to the sun and the wings melted and they crashed into the sea and were killed. So it's a famous Greek myth about hubris. But Knossos is a real place, and it's been excavated over the last 100 years. And what they've excavated to date is already quite large, actually really well preserved. But I think the whole site is probably about the size of the Mall of America. And they've really only begun to scratch the surface.
And what are they finding?
They're finding rooms and mosaics and, artifacts. You know, everything from dishes and plates to, you know, crowns and things like that. They find a lot of shipwrecks in Greece as well. And a lot of times they will find the olive oil or the wine actually still sealed in those amphora containers. So you could actually consume that that's been sitting at the bottom of the sea for thousands of years.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the neat things in Greece, too. There are actually some shipwrecks you can see from the surface. And the water is so crystal clear that you can see, you know, 20 or 30 feet down, and you can see the shipwrecks without having to put on a scuba mask. Yeah.
So when would you hop on a boat and go from island to island?
So normally people will spend a few days in Athens, kind of see the sights there, and then hop on a cruise. Go to the islands, you know.
What kind of a ship is this?
So that's one of the neat things about Greece is that there are a lot of choices for cruises. There are kind of the conventional, you know, mass market large cruise ships operate there. There are a lot of unique small cruise ships that operate there as well, like a tall ship, sort of yacht type vessels that don't go to the busier islands. They go to some of the smaller islands. And then, you know, even some of the top luxury cruise ships will be based there. So there's a lot of choice in the Greek islands because it's such a popular and such an attractive place to go.
And if we were looking to a trip to Greece, how far ahead do we need to look?
Yeah, so I'm working with people now who are planning trips for this year. A lot of people have come out of the woodwork recently and really do want to get something on the books for this year, and that's great. We can definitely do that. A lot of people are also booking into 2023 and even into 2024. We're already starting to see bookings. And the thing about Greece is that almost everything there is small. You know, even the biggest hotels are pretty small. And so if you want to go to Santorini, and if you want to stay at one of those really neat resorts that has a room with a pool that overlooks the caldera, there aren't that many of those. And so booking early is really important. So if you're planning to go this fall, not a bad time to be planning it now. If you're looking to go next year, I would definitely say this is the time to start thinking about it.
Oh, and isn't it true that part of the fun of traveling is looking forward to it?
Well, I think so. I think anticipating something in the future really adds to the enjoyment of life. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that you have that trip planned for this fall or next year, I think it really kind of puts a little spring into your step. At least it does for me.
Absolutely. Ted, if people want to book their trip to Greece, how can they do that, please?
Best way to get a hold of me is to visit my website. It's www.tedblanktravel.com, and you can sign up for my e-newsletter there as well. You can call me at 651-964-8245, or you can visit me on Facebook at facebook.com/tedblanktravel.
Great to see you. Thank you
so
much.
Good to see
you. Sounds fabulous.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go too. Greece, if you want to learn more, give Ted a call or visit him online. And this show is called The Travel Show with your host, Ted Blank of Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventure. And this is AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings. This travel show has been brought to you by Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventures.
Beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere. I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her.